Well, members, I'm going to allow members to engage until four. We won't go beyond four. If it's 1 hour, then it's fine. If it's 3 o'clock, then it's fine, but not beyond four, because other people will have to travel. Can I say, Deputy Minister, thank you very much for the presentations, and you, Chair of the Board. I must say that it was a very thorough one. There were even responses on some of the questions as you were presenting. And please, we must not ask what has been responded to already. I think the lady there does have my questions, but I will now allow members to ask questions until we finish. I'll start with you, Honourable Van Damme, because your hand is up, and then I'll take hands as they go up. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair. I must commend the SABC for putting together what is a comprehensive, detailed, and seemingly well thought out turnaround strategy. I think we've had lots of turnaround strategies, and we certainly hope that this one will be one that will be implemented. I am satisfied with the requirement that you consulted the minister, and that's where the minister's role ends. Her public utterances disparaging the board are absolutely not helpful. She has fulfilled her role. She's done now. It's now you as a board who must do the work. And I applaud you for 2 weeks ago, I think it was, for stamping your independence and saying we're independent from any political party or from government. So I really must commend you for doing that. And for this plan, you've consulted Kubelang Msebenzi. Now, I've got a couple of questions. So you say your staff is currently at 3,478. What would be the figure of the number of staff the SABC would require to function optimally? So from that 3,478, what is it that the SABC needs to function optimally, so that it doesn't have a bloated staff? So there's quite clear, I mean, I don't know, you can correct me, where there was a sudden bulge in the number of staff hired and a sudden bulge in the number of salaries that were given to not only to top management, but also to the staff. I remember there was a time where Claudia said everybody gets 10,000 rand, he gave 50,000 rand to artists. So can you tell us the story of what happened there? Take us back into the history so that we understand that what happened and how you got to the stage of where you now have a bloated staff. I truly believe you must focus on your commercial mandate, because that's where, you know, the money is, and really put leadership there that will come up with creative ideas, who will properly market your stations that are the ones that make a lot of money, And also, the ones that aren't making money, why do you have to keep them? If you satisfy the requirement of all 11 languages, and there are stations that are just being, you know, consistently running at a loss, I don't see why you need to keep them, but you can explain to me why those stations need to exist. I understand Metro caters for an English audience, but also it's, you know, is one of the stations that makes the most money and you have to keep it. So if you could just explain that to me. And then I've given this a lot of thought, and I seriously believe that your public mandate needs to be funded by government. I think what you need to do is focus on your commercial mandate, make sure that you can stay afloat there, and then when it comes to the public mandate, government must fund. So in your editorial policy, there needs to be a clear definition of what constitutes an event of national importance that falls under a public mandate, so that you know, political parties don't come and say, hey, we're having a study group, it falls under the public mandate, can you please give us airtime? So it needs to be very clear. So, you know, major conferences of political parties, the opening of parliament, major debates in parliament. So it needs to be made very, very clear, so there's no room to maneuver for political interference. And I really think, Chair, that we also need to engage with National Treasury, because we're hearing the story from one side. They need to tell us what it is that they want to do with the SABC. And I think we must, as a committee, in all fairness, say that the public mandate must be funded publicly, because, you know, you budget for the year and then there's a funeral that you need to cover, which costs you millions. You know, there's a campaign launch of a political party. There's, you know, things happen that you haven't budgeted for. So those things must be funded by National Treasury. And then there's a couple of other questions that I wrote down. Your YouTube channel, how does that work? Because I often see, sometimes I'm looking through YouTube, that there'll be season 2, episode 3 of Muvango. So are those provided to the public for free? Do you make any money off your YouTube channel? If you could just answer that. And then I think I've covered it. I think the gist of my comment is, well done in putting together what seems to be a detailed and well thought out turnaround strategy. Focus on your commercial mandate. Make sure that you can get as much money as out of advertising out of that. The license fee collection plan that's been put forward looks like it could work, but I think what you should focus on is the commercial part, and we as a committee need to engage with National Treasury regarding the public mandate, because it's really not fair on the SABC to expect them to cover like events of national importance when they don't necessarily have the money to do so. Thanks, Chair.
I'll go to Honourable Kwangwa and then come back to you, Matisha, and then come this side. But before you proceed, you know, all of us before this meeting, there was a big talk about retrenchment, and then all of us entered the fray because it was out there. I want to appeal to all of us, because it's not in the presentation, isn't it? Do we have retrenchment in the presentation? Do we have retrenchment of workers in the... Just say yes or no. No
yes.
Explanation.
Yes.
To say you are going to retrench so many.
No, we have
yes.
Section 189.
Yes. That's where I am.
Process.
That's where I am. Because once you talk retrenching workers and say how many you think you will retrench, you will then raise a lot of discussions among workers. When the process is in place to talk to unions and all of that. That's why I am on that one. So that, because once we say there are 200 workers and we'll be comfortable when we have 10, then it begins to trigger something to workers. I think let us avoid that with due respect so that we don't get to that, because it will come up as to we have these workers, we're going to return so many. Let the processes unfold between management and unions, the stakeholders that are involved, so that we don't create that. Are you fine with that? I think let's try by all means to deal with that. You know, it's a question that at some stage we'll have to hear, not necessarily in this meeting. Now that we have gone through a process with your stakeholders, then what do we think? I'm saying there will have to be an update meeting that we'll have to have with the board. So I wanted to raise that, members, before we proceed, so that you can sit comfortable on that one. Honorable Kwangwa.
Thank you, Chair. In a way, you're also preempting me. We are sweeper. Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. The issue, I think, is very important. I think I want to align myself with the Honorable Van Damme's comment in saying, indeed, the turnaround strategy is very comprehensive. And as always, I think what would be important going forward is the implementation of the plans that you have put in place. Because if you can implement, even if it's 70% of what is contained in this document, you should be able to turn around the SABC within over the medium term, let me rather put it that way. I still want to underscore this point, Chairperson. I'm not disregarding what you said, that it's very important for this consultation process to be allowed to take place insofar as the workers are concerned. We have no intentions of coming here and pretending to be shop stewards when we're not, but we are representatives of those workers as well. I want to come to the slide numbers per division and scale code. There is something that I'm picking up here. I beg your pardon. It's page nine. I don't know, maybe I just don't understand the complexity of the SABC as an institution, but I just find it very odd that if you were to look at starting from code 110 to code 300, and which deals mainly, I would say, there with managers, if you like, it means we have just over 1,000 managers that manage 3,400 workers. Now, if you minus the managers, it means your span of control is 1:2.25 workers. Now, without even discussing the issue of retrenchment or who's saying who's where and who should be where, the problem is clear in my view that it's one of the challenges that faces the SABC, that you have a bloated management team. It means you have people who are not managing anyone, who are just managing desks, but who are paid high salaries. It's something that you should consider. Another contributing factor might be the fact that it is the nature and the complexity of the business, as you see it. I think the TV license issue, Chairperson, I don't know whether it's a taboo to talk about possible increases, even if they are marginal on TV licenses. Because, look, I was just doing a brief calculation as I was sitting here to say if you were to increase it by a slight increase of 10%, that would, if you were to increase it by 10%, increase the collection rates, you would very easily get up to 250 million rand, right? And yes, we are sitting in this mess because the ANC government made mistakes. We must take ownership. That is a fact. But the bottom line is, in order to try and get the SABC out of the quagmire in which it finds itself, if we're serious about that, it would not just be a government issue, but South Africans themselves should, to some extent, be willing to make certain sacrifices to be able to fund the SABC as an institution. So I was saying, we need to look at, my view is that the SABC TV license arm, the TV license arm, should be able to come up with projections that can assist the process going forward. To say these are the different permutations, different options that would actually help to ease the funding problem over and above the assistance from National Treasury that is expected, right? To say what are some of the short to medium term interventions that can be made to try and improve this, the financial picture. What I don't understand is that, look, I think maybe the SABC could be blamed for one thing, maybe the current leadership, is that with in the absence of these options and these proposals to say this is how we can try to improve our cash flow situation in the short to medium term, then you sound like you're too eager to retrench people if you haven't considered other options and say these are the alternatives that we can consider before we consider, say, retrenchment as a last resort. But what I don't understand then, Chairperson, you'll also pardon me here, maybe I wasn't here when the matter was discussed, is that in the Chairperson's introductory remarks, he said something about this government, this condition about retrenchment being a condition of National Treasury at some point. Right? So who's retrenching? Who took the decision to retrench? Is it the SABC board or government via National Treasury? So we must get our facts right when we communicate this matter so that we know. I find it difficult, for instance, that the Minister of Communication can to some extent try to distance herself from the decision of the same government, because National Treasury is a government department. So we need to clear that communication going forward so that you understand exactly what is happening. You see, when it comes to this TV license issue, there needs to be a simplification of the payment systems as well. Look, if you look at multi-choice, if you don't have a debit order system, you just receive an SMS and you pay it almost immediately. It improves collection so that we understand exactly what we are dealing with. I want to say, Chairperson, that if you address the issue of a bloated management structure, because what you want to understand is to where do you spend most of your money insofar as your employee compensation is concerned. That is the starting point. And then you say, how do you then stop the bleeding from taking place? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people who float in the system without adding value. The issue about trying to turn the ASABC into a preferred employer, it's important. That I think the issue about labor relations issue, I think there has been some improvement to some extent that it still receives the necessary attention, because you need to bring everyone on board. You need to be able to bring all the stakeholders on board and make sure that proper consultations do indeed take place when major decisions are going to be taken, because you also don't want to have a situation where you have other people in the system who talk against you because they are discontent or dissatisfied rather about certain issues that are taking place in the SABC itself. I think, Chairperson, there's this issue here, that the issue, if the public mandate remains unfunded, then it doesn't matter whether you come up with a very fancy document to say that you have a turnaround strategy, you are always going to have a cash flow problem if government doesn't want to attend to that issue. Every single year we're going to come back here and complain about the same issue. Look, the Deputy Minister, in her introductory opening remarks, she also highlighted this thing of saying, in terms of funding, the SABC is one of the least funded SOEs, and yet he has a major responsibility, right? Least funded, but in the past, maybe one of the most corrupt. But we need to address that and make sure that it doesn't happen going forward. Thank you, Chair, for now.
Thank you. Madam Patricia?
No, thank you, Chair, and everyone here present. Permit me to indicate that I think you have done well, but would expect more. Just a few questions. Before we go, I will propose into um, some discussions to say this we propose should be in the future. If one could be clarified, because you speak of the retrenchment, and the chairperson has said that we shouldn't look into that as yet until they will have sat down to have those discussions. But I think, Chair, there is a problem, because both their chairperson and the CEO spoke about cuts, and does the cut in respect of the members, I'm not a role, they spoke about that. And what I want to check with you, and I indeed believe that that has got to be looked into, that will be it. Yes, the unions will be talking to the management about that, but then we need to get a proper report, because here you say cuts, but then you bring in antithesis to say we're still going to look into that, but there must be cuts. That to me is a very serious problem. You are contradicting yourselves. Now, linked to that, Chairperson, is the fact that you have people who work on a full-time capacity during the week, and over the weekends they don't. They maybe come, some come in as freelancers, etc., etc. I believe that that is a major problem, and kindly explain that. Okay, people work, and then they are free over the weekends, and others come in as freelancers, or those very people come in as freelancers, and therefore they get double salaries. Now, you say that some people must go, there must be cuts, and yet others are getting a double salaries. That, I believe, is a major problem, and I think they truly need to have that one explained, because it creates, in my own opinion, a very serious problem. The second point, Chair, is the rise in respect of major cost drivers, as they put it. Now, is this not as a sequel to number one, less growth of interest in the programs, okay? In the programs vis-a-vis what is either flown or played by the rival organizations or institutions for ETV, etc. I'm just giving you that as an example to say, is this not as a sequel to that kind of a problem? I mean, you are a state-owned entity, and you are faced with these problems. I mean, I can give you, of course, all of us know that there is a problem. We have the South African Airways, which is competing with or against other institutions, and it is going down because of very many other things, that it is not delivering, etc., etc. All right? And the people will soon go to others. Now, are we not in the same realm? The way you actually work, not to say, yes, we'll do this. Yes, we shall do this. Because you see why, my chairperson, let me be negative and say that, yes, it is not the first time that FABC is coming to say, we want to do this. But then the actualization of that which they put before us has not been realized. That is, to me, a major problem. Kindly say to us that this is exactly what is going to happen. But I am saying, have you, you know, compared yourselves to those who are competing against yourselves, so that we then are able to move and go beyond, you know, that which we believe has got to be a position of success. Therefore, is the actual point of actualization, implementation of this thing. The third thing that you have raised is, to quote you, you said no funding model allowed in respect of sport rights, that's Chris, you said that, sport rights and production. I don't understand. Kindly explain that. You further went on to say that there is no mandate. If you kindly could explain, where does the mandate come from? Who must give the mandate? Should it be Parliament? Or is it something that you yourself have got to sit within the management structure to look into that, Chris, and the committee? Because that is what you have said. You said that there is no model, or no model is allowed. Okay. That I want to propose must actually be explained. The other thing you spoke about is the issue of the election coming, 2019. You have claimed victory, and I agree with you, that instead of spending lots and lots of money like you did in the past, it now has gone down to 30 million rand. All right? Now, kindly explain, because you haven't, how the purported financial reduction and success and that which you are going to do, you know, from this high amount that was spent in the past to that which you say you are going to spend in future. Kindly explain how. It means you are not going to cover all these political parties, 12 political parties. By the way, there are more than 200 political parties in South Africa. And very many of those are going to say we're going to the election, starting from the majority party, which is ANC, to the lowest one. Now, have you looked into that? Are you able to explain the route that you are going to follow? Chairperson, no, just leave it. So, now, the TV license, the 70% non-compliance, okay, you somewhere did speak of the new collection method, which, as you said again, the legislature, in quote, I mean what you said, must apportion, etc., etc. Now, what do you propose? I know at the end he did put that particular point. What are you saying? Do you want it to be done? Do you want this committee to go to Parliament and say, let's have this amount increased, or what? If that could be clarified, I will be okay, my chairperson, for now. Thank you.
Honorable Kongo, was it you?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation from both the department and the board and colleagues. I think the presentation is quite elaborate, and just keep it up. I just need to, just following from what Honorable Madisha has said, part of my expectation is that you say this is amount that we need for appropriation. Parliament go and approach Treasury to deal with this kind of a shortfall with Treasury, so that when we discuss with the department and Treasury, we're sure that this is an amount that is that the SABC is looking for. I think that will assist. It will be quite clear. And I do share the sentiments of Honorable Ngwangwa. I think part of the things that you must come and propose are things that are very clear, like the 72 cent of the TV license. If you are proposing that there must be an increase or what, those are the things that you must put very clear so that we either engage on those kind of issues, because indeed we need the SAPC to be self-sufficient. That is in the interest of all of us. And this issue of downsizing and right-sizing vis-a-vis 189 and what was on the media all along, the retrenchment and so on, I think my position is that retrenchment should be a no-no. But if you will have to do it, it must be the last resort that is taken, because we can't afford to take that particular route. And I've been listening with great interest. Like you're saying, there's a channel, you want to increase channels to 9, historical, the one that deals with history and so on. So I think part of the package that we must deal with is how do we effectively use the Section 189 effectively to deal with some of the challenges that you have, as opposed to just venturing into the issue of Section 189. And again, the issue of the TV licenses, what I've asked the previous time was, how do you break even in terms of these lawyers that are collecting? How much exactly goes to the lawyers? And then how much does go to the SAPC? And how do we subvert or avoid that a bulk of money goes to the lawyers? But I accept the proposals that you want to go EFT, debit orders and so on, but we must have a clear way how we're going to do so that we can maximize the issue of collection, because from where I'm sitting, collection alone can take us to the greatest heights in terms of the issue of funding. And I do agree that obviously a normal organization cannot have a 42% of the cost going to the salaries and so on. But also we need to, as part of the turnaround, we need to look at the entire structure and say, how do we not only look at those who are at a low level, in terms of the map that I saw here, but also at the top echelon of leadership, how do we reduce and minimize the cost in terms of getting people in and the salaries that are being paid. So one other issue that I have an interest on the TV license is, have we done some study? If a person has, one person has 3 TVs, how many times, how much must that person pay? And how do we bridge that gap? If I, like, maybe somebody owns a guest house, he has 12 in the guest house. How, what is the structure against which we determine the payment of that particular person? Because we may as well think that there are more people who are not paying, only to find that many people have more televisions under their name. So I've not heard clearly how do we deal with that matter. On a clear basis, if I have 10 TV sets, How much must I pay? And if I have another person has only one, I think those are some of the things. But I heard that, I don't know, because I thought that the legislation provides that a person cannot buy a TV set without the license. So now if you're going to look at those who have TV sets without license, how did they get hold of that? How did they maneuver to get this? And maybe I want your comment and suggestions around, because we need to have stricter penalties around this issue of people who are failing to pay. Is the legislation enough, or you want Parliament to make amendments so that we get to be stricter in terms of the payment of the TV license? I think I agree with Honourable Van Dam that on the public mandate, we've got to take responsibility. We've got to take responsibility, both this Parliament and the executive, because that will be important. Then on the other commercial one, that's where we'll have to hold you strictly accountable in terms of how you use the rents and cents and how do you fundraise. I think one other matter is the issue of the property audit, because to get out of this problem now, we need some force multiplier. So what does the property audit say, and how can we use some of the intellectual property of the SABC to attract some funding or to get a direct funding? I think I'll stop the chair for now. Thank you.
Well, thanks. You will note that others are questions, others are issues that you need to go back and implement. I'm really on this TV license thing, because if you go around the world, places like SABC are funded through TV license collection. And I think we need to be very vigorous on that. Honorable Kaba.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think just to indicate that maybe to Honorable Kwangwe, the ANC government, its purpose that it is engaging with SABC as an entity is to ensure that it succeeds and the public mandate gets implemented quite very well. We can't be a government that is failing. I think he needs to be assisted on that clarity. The other thing, Chair, I think the issue of Section 189, I think the engagement as it continues with workers, but the minister wherein there could be other means not to arrive at an angle wherein families will suffer. If necessary, whether it gets escalated, let it be, but it must not happen. And then on page 37, on issue of the turnaround plans and customer service, I hear the implementation will require the creation of innovation hub team or existing staff. I was just worried perhaps terms of reference for this, or what will then be the role of management if we are then to create another team, maybe of some sort within ourselves. And then on page 65, on the turnaround plans, I hear that there is a talk to other financing partners which are keen to assist. To what extent, maybe, has that happened? Are we seeing results, or perhaps is yet to happen? And then I think that will be my questions and input, Chair. Thank you.
On the other hand, Honorable Machoba.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, my question actually is not a big question. It's in page 39, in the issue of GIS. I just want to be clear, what is it, that GIS? Because in my understanding, you said this is a cost-effective process. As we know that SABC, there's no money in SABC. So what kind of that GIS would happen to our communities? Because I'm worried about our poor's check. Our poor's must not be humiliated by this process of this GIS. I just need a clarity about this GIS because we don't have even a time frame about this GIS. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Kalago.
Chair, mine is a comment. It's not a... Let me also follow those who commend the SABC for your roadmap in trying to turn around the things in the SABC. Chair, I think truth be told, there's no way that the SABC can continue and be out of the crisis if it spends its bulk of the money on the wage bill. There's no way at all. We can couch it and, you know, retrenchment, no retrenchment, what? But I think to me the elephant in the room is, what is the SABC going to do about that? It's not helping from us to say, don't do this, do this. It's not solving the problem. I think let's allow the process legally as it happens in that front, and monitor it, of course, together with working with the board and the ministry and the department. But SABC, it was irresponsible of the previous leadership which was there, which created this situation. Both boards which were actually together with the executives of the time, because you found this situation like this then. And I think Honorable Ngwako is correct. Because of the irresponsible nature of how people were being employed in the SABC, you find that situation where somebody is managing what? So I think you have to get into that. And also, you must have a plan and present it to us. How do you deal with the question which was raised by Honorable Matish? People who will be freelancers and people who will be in your, or also in your staff complement. How do you deal with those problems so that you don't find ourselves talking about a huge complement of workers, only to find out there is doubling of others? So I think the SABC, if you address those things to us, although we must play our part, I agree with members, our part, it's high time now we force government to take responsibility of resourcing SABC. Whilst you do with the, we will deal with the commercial side, raising money, but as government, we can't just be shouting at the SABC, telling SABC you are not doing this, you are supposed to do this, whereas we are not putting any money towards that. I think that's something which we have been talking about this meeting, Chair, with the Treasury
although the minister have been their processes or with the appropriations committee. But I think it's high time that we do that meeting and everybody in government becomes seized with trying to find the resources and fund that. Because if we don't do that, we will be always be on this state. But when it comes to streamlining SABC and making it more professional, we'll expect you to follow the process legally, how you deal with your staff, how you deal with unions. But we'll need, again, a report on that, Chair. And also, I think somebody said, yeah, we are not a labor union, we are a committee of parliament. We are not shop stewards, we are a committee of parliament. We know those people are our people, South Africans, but think rules must be clear so that we don't muddy, you know, matters here. Rules must be clear so that we understand each other. So, Chair, to me, that was the turnaround strategy. If implemented, of course, with our assistants playing our part, can change things there in the SABC. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah. That's now your turn. I think the big emphasis on this thing of it's your responsibility, committee members, as Portfolio Committee on Communication, to ensure that we talk on raising what we contribute to SABC. This 3% thing doesn't work. We will have to push as a committee so that we are funded more by government without control. Because I think we must emphasize, funding you more doesn't mean we control the state broadcaster. Yeah. It must remain independent. Because it's a national broadcaster, it must have more funding from government. I think that needs to be dealt with by all of us members, because everybody looks upon us in terms of that. Other matters, because at the end, we must deal with other things now. That, as I said earlier, follow-up meeting, that will give us the report of what we have done in relation to this turnaround strategy, including the consultation. I think that I'm saying this for the second time. How far are you with the consultation? What are your agreements with the stakeholders, including labor unions, and all of that? At that meeting will have to be soon, members. But if possible, I really need that meeting. We'll have to meet them halfway, even if we go to Johannesburg, so that we can have a sense of the entire board meeting the committee as we did once. So we'll have to look at that those logistics ourselves. We don't have a pressure of time. We are in Johannesburg, not necessarily in SABC, but in Gauteng, so that we can meet properly. I think we'll have to do that as a follow-up meeting. Okay, Chair, Minister, Deputy Minister, you're okay. We are now on responses.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me allow the Chair and the executives to respond, and we will come at the end towards your closing remarks.
Okay. Board Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. And thank you, colleagues, Honourable Members of the Committee for your input, questions and comment. And thanks to the team for the great work that they've done. I'm going to be assigning questions to my colleagues who are here. I'm going to ask Michael Markovic just to explain from a TV license legislative proposal that we've put, so that you've got a sense that what we've put forward. Then I'm going to ask Jack Palane, to just take you through the section 189 from how we understand it. That will be the first group of people that will speak. Then after that, the CEO will then give the details on some of the questions that we ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Just very briefly, I won't go into too much detail, but as you're probably aware, the Department of Communications is currently running a review of public broadcasting and policy. And as part of that review, the SABC put forward detailed proposals that would require legislative amendments, and obviously in the domain of the department to eventually decide what policy is and will hopefully put forward some to this committee. But just to give you a quick idea, is the currently television set is understood as just the normal television set. And that's when you buy a TV set at the point of sale, they're asking for a TV license. We wanted to extend it to other apparatus which you need to watch TV with, like a PVR or a set-top box or a satellite dish. So if you're buying one of those, we'd also like to check if you've got a TV license. This does not mean phones and computers, etc. We've left that out. We think that's too onerous. We want it to be restricted to just equipment that allows you to watch the normal television set over the broadcast frequency spectrum. That's the one element, Chair. We want that broadened, and we'd like that clarified in the Broadcasting Act. The second thing, Chair, is we would like other parties to be responsible for checking if you've got a TV license. We have proposed that the pay TV operator be one of the parties that are responsible for checking that when you take out a subscription, currently they've got 7 million households in their subscription base, we would like the law to be changed that they are also asked to check if you've got a TV license. We're not necessarily going so far as to say that they must collect the money for us, but we do think it's fair that if you are taking out a subscription with them, you're obviously using a TV set. So we think the law should be broadened to ask them to check that as well. And we've made other smaller types of amendments. On the TV license increase, that is currently a co-responsibility of the Minister of Communications and the Board, so we would have to propose that to the Minister in terms of the current regulations. We haven't done that yet, Chairperson, because we thought let's get over these presentations and the policy stuff first. But it is something we are considering approaching the Minister about in due course.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Just in terms of Section 189, I think the key thing is that, as you have seen in terms of the turnaround plan or strategy, everything that affects the SABC is being looked at. And the key thing about 189 is that it's a process to seek a solution by engaging the workers. And the main aim for doing that is firstly to avoid, you know, dismissals or retrenchments. So what is aimed at is to engage the employees in terms of how do we find a solution to the challenge that we are having. Because currently we have all seen the wage bill. You know, so and something needs to be done. It's the wage bill and you're talking about the revenue. You know, and I think what is key to everyone in the organization is that you need the employees to assist in assisting the SABC to get out of the situation that it is in. You know, and that is the process that is being followed. So and obviously it is only after that process that we will be able to say, based on the contributions we have had from the employees, this is the best way to avoid, you know, having to retrench any workers. Because at this stage, if you don't go through the process, you know, you may miss out, you know, on the solution that will assist the SABC to get out of the situation. And that is the process that is that we are engaging on in terms of 189.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of the Section 189 process, I fully agree. Because we're already engaging with organized labor and our employees, I do think that we need to deal with that process internally through the consultative engagements that we already have. But I would want to talk to the point of a broader structure from a management point of view. the process of staff optimization is not just focusing on lower levels. It's across. If you look at our bloated management, we have about 495, not 1,000. And that accounts for about just over 540 million of the 3.1 billion. So we're looking at this, you know, we're not just focusing at lower levels. The other point that was raised or question was, will this happen? Indeed, this will be implemented because it's factored into and it's embedded within the organization via the KPIs. So individually, all of the GEs that are here, and they cascaded down to their teams. So from a KPI point of view, this is going to be driven. It's going to be measured as well as assessed. The other question was, as it relates to, have we looked at the competitive landscape when we dealt with the commercial plans? You may remember that the slide under commercial enterprises, it did take a look at what exactly other competitors are doing in the space. So indeed it does. What I'd like to do is to ask my colleagues, Chris and Ndatetekiso, as well as Sylvia, if they could respond directly to the questions that pertain to their divisions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, CEO. If I may, I'd like to start with the issue that was raised by Honorable Van Dam around issues related to a commercial mandate and our commercial viability. Certainly, CEO, you are correct to point out that indeed we are sharply focused on ensuring a sharper commercial mandate as the SABC. And this is really reflected in some of the turnaround plans that we have presented here. But I think I'd also like to take the opportunity, Chair, if you'll allow me, to also to thank Van Dam for reminding us and supporting our focus on ensuring a sharper commercial mandate. One of the questions that were asked...
We call them honorables. Honorable Van Dam.
Honorable Van Dam.
That's right.
Apologies, Chair. If it was... the next issue that I'd like to raise was another question that was raised by the Honorable Van Dam, which effectively talks about our YouTube channel and effectively how does it work. Yes, it is an interesting aspect, but it also talks about the way in which we define a competitor, particularly in the OTT space. By OTT space, we're talking about over-the-top broadcast. On the one hand, the YouTube channel gives us a new platform, which we can then show or demonstrate the various aspects that the SABC has to provide as an offering. What it does is, as we prepare to move into the OTT space, it effectively fragments the audiences that would have typically gone onto the SABC audience. So to give you an example, when you talk about streaming, say, your favorite soapy, some of them do appear on the YouTube channel. When these content offerings now appear on the upcoming SABC app, we would actually like to migrate a lot of those audiences onto our platform so that they can stream and they can do what we describe as video on demand, that is, watch at their leisure, all of these things, and at the same time stream live the content that they would be made available to them as it is broadcast simultaneously. So this is something that we have to focus on as part of the commercial strategy around OTT. Around the revenue, I can disclose that there is some revenue, but it is nowhere in comparison to the cost of the production of a lot of the content that you would see on the linear programming that you see in broadcast. If I may, Chair and CEO, address some of the other questions that were raised here. The question was raised by Honorable Madisha in relation to mandate. I think the direct question was, who provides this mandate when it comes to sports rights? And how do you effectively define these sports that you actually cover? And I'll address some of your questions simultaneously. Well, sir, to answer the question directly, we are given 22 sports of national interest in terms of the ICASA regulations. And these effectively stipulate the sporting codes that are defined as sports of national importance. So that answers the one question. When I referred to the funding model, even though we are required to carry these sports as defined by the regulation, there is no mention about how the SABC must then fund this mandate that is given through these regulations. And that is the gap, the funding gap that we refer to. In essence, what we're saying as the SABC is that if we are required by regulation, which is within the purview of Parliament, to give to the SABC, we are simply requesting that also due care be made to ensure that the viability of the SABC, the financial viability of the SABC, is not affected by carrying out this mandate. It actually answers your second question, which is your content relevant? And I think what we would say, and maybe this is something that this committee can consider, is whether the sports that have been designated as sports of national importance actually make sense from a content proposition, i.e., is it relevant when compared to what some of our other competitors are carrying? Or is it so important in terms of our public service mandate that we should make provision for minority sports or sporting codes that do not get as much coverage on, say, other platforms? These are questions that I think really the portfolio committee can also consider in order to give us proper guidance. But we would argue that one of the things that we realize around this huge sporting mandate is that when we look at the content, very often my colleagues, particularly the one who is here in commercial enterprises, would always say when we acquire rights, what we should do is make sure that we have a business model that is commercially viable before we go out and acquire these rights. You also asked about elections. And you said the savings that we have demonstrated, the 30 million cost of coverage of elections, does it come at, let's call it, a watering down of our coverage of elections and our provision of coverage to the various political parties? I'm very happy to say, sir, that this is not the case. What you will actually find is the following, that the savings that we derive are really around items like accommodation, transport, and an efficient deployment plan that will effectively see that the efficiencies around how we deploy our staff, how we deploy our resources, that is for signal distribution, broadcast costs, are done in a very efficient way and a very well thought out way. I have, through the Group Executive for News and Current Affairs, had sight of the plans around the election. One of the things is that what we have also planned to do is intensify our coverage of rural areas, because what we have seen in the past is a disproportionate focus on urban areas and the voice of urban constituencies. So how do we do that? We recently indicated that we had acquired new digital, or rather satellite gathering vans that allow us to deploy our staff into the furthest flung areas of South Africa in order to give voice to the voiceless, in order to provide coverage that is relevant to the people of South Africa. So, sir, without over-promising, I would like to indicate to you, Honorable Madisha, that indeed you will see a better coverage of elections, but a better planned coverage of those elections. There's just one more question, CEO, that was given to me that I would like to answer. This comes from Honorable Bongo, and it's in relation to DTT and our channel expansion. You had indicated, how do we justify the contemplation of Section 189 when we are looking at channel expansion? Particularly, you made reference to the sports channel and the history channel as the new channels that might come into place. So when we consider these channels, effectively what we are looking at is the following. How do we develop a digital migration channel proposition that will come at the least cost to the SABC? And this is done in the following ways, by ensuring that there is cross-subsidization between the channels in terms of resources, i.e. one of the key costs that you would see that we highlighted as one of the key cost drivers is signal distribution and broadcast costs. What we are effectively saying is that as we plan a new channel strategy for DTT, we want to do it in such a way that it does not really come at an additional burden in terms of, let's call it, headcount, but it is done in a way where we capitalize on some of the technological investment that we want to make, i.e. our playout systems, our final control systems must be manned in such a way where our wage bill does not increase in a way so that we provide this further channel expansion. Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are you done with the responses, CEO, Chairperson?
No, for me, that was
yes.
My response.
Are you done then?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Why I say, I emphasize Honorable Van Damme to say these members are honorable members. One official told us that some of us are not honorable. And that official was from SABC. He said some of you are not honorable. And that was an official. So I'm reminding you, Chris.
Thank you, Chair. Going back to questions that were raised by Honorable Van Damme, I believe the question was really what led to the bloated staff complement within the SABC. I'm going to articulate three reasons or four. And really, this is not about bloated staff only. It's about the wage bill that members saw. And this was as a result of, number one, irregular salary increases to numerous employees, where we saw these employees being promoted from an administrator to a manager within a short space of time. And secondly, a blatant disrespect for recruitment policies and processes in terms of A, the appointment of people, and B, the promotion of people. Thirdly, the payment of something called critical skills allowances, where the role could not be perceived to be critical. And number four, employees brought on board without basing these decisions on ratios of support staff vis-a-vis core staff. And we are reversing some of these things. We are reversing these precisely because these are articulated in the Public Protector Report in terms of remedial action. So we are busy reversing some of these appointments and promotions. Honorable Kwango, I think, indicated also that there's a problem with span of control. And so, Chair and Honorable Members, we are not only looking at the span of control
from it being 1 to 1 to probably it being 1 to 6. But we're also looking at the layers, you know, below the manager. For instance, where you have 6 to 7 layers below the manager, we want to look into that and make sure that we reduce those layers. So we're looking at spends and spends and layers in terms of how our structures are going to look like. But going back to that one-on-one scenario where a manager manages one person, it is the case purely because we had not concluded what we now call a dual career path model, where on one leg you have those that are pursuing a managerial career path, and on the other hand, you have those that are pursuing a specialist career path. So I'm pleased to inform you that we have engaged organized labor on this one, and we've consulted with them on this one. That is the finalization of the dual career path model, and we're proceeding with that. And if successfully implemented, we shall make sure that there's a very clear distinction between managers on one leg and specialists on the other leg. I think Honorable Kwangwa essentially also indicated that we must bring everyone on board. And again, as an organization, we are pleased to inform you that we are now meeting on a monthly basis with organized labor. That is the two unions with which we have collective agreements, that's BEMAWI and Communication Workers Union. But also, we, without any intention to undermine our collective agreements with both unions, we also see it fit to regularly engage with MWASA. And MWASA at this point in time has a limited organizational rights agreement with us, and there's reason for us to engage with them on a regular basis. Honorable Madisha essentially raised an issue which confronts us greatly as an organization right now pertaining to the distinction of roles between freelancers and permanent staff members. What we are looking into is freelancers who are ostensibly, you know, getting more than one salary, getting three salaries, whereas they are permanent employees. Let me hasten to add, Chairperson and honorable board members, honorable members, that it will be an anomaly if it's found to be happening within our organization, the fact that you have a permanent staff member who's also earning a freelancer salary. It cannot happen, but what we've done to make sure that we have line of sight on these things is to get our HR people, human resources people, playing a prominent role with our line managers on the employment of freelancers. Because up until fairly recently, our HR personnel were not participating in the engagement of freelancers. So this was a preserve and a prerogative of line managers. We're saying, as an organization, we need to get a total picture as to people who are employed as freelancers in terms of who they are and where they come from. Because I think it's in the interest of the SABC that we have to know who are employing. So our HR people are essentially engaged in as far as that is concerned. Honorable Bongo indicated that if Section 189 is to be implemented or pursued or invoked, it has to be used effectively. And we agree with him. It will have to be used effectively in the sense that during the consultation process, we have to make a distinction between the affected employees as well as the impacted employees. The affected employees will be the ones whose positions have been identified for retrenchment, but the impacted employees will be the ones who, as a result of the ones that are affected, have to now have their jobs enlarged or enriched. And what it means, therefore, is that the impacted employees will also have to be looked at in terms of you know, their jobs having grown. So these are processes that we're going to make sure that as we engage in the consultation process with unions, we articulate these things very well so as to make sure that we use Section 189 effectively. And I think I've also responded to Honorable Kalago's issue pertaining to the fact that there are freelancers and permanent employees or permanent employees who are also earning additional salaries. We're saying it cannot be allowed to happen because as a permanent employee, you have only one employment contract which entitles you to one salary only and not salaries that are earned by freelancers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to start with the first question that was asked earlier. Currently, the legislation as it sits, as TV licenses, we cannot put a limit to the number of TV sets that are owned in a household. There is no legislative provision that says that people can only buy so many TV sets, because a household only pays for one TV license. They do not pay for each and every or individual TV sets within the household. So if you have five TV sets, you will only pay for one, which is 265. However, in trying to address the loophole that you mentioned as well, we have an internal process where when you go to a retailer to buy a television set, the retailer then contacts our call center. We have what we call a validation process. By calling the call center, they need to ensure that your license is up to date, meaning you do not owe. So the process that we have internally is that the staff will ask how many TV sets the person needs to buy. If it's anything that exceeds five, we will not accept it as a TV license for a household. We would rather create it as a business. And what we have found is that some of the retailers are abusing the system by using one paid-up TV license of a particular individual to buy for several households. We, in terms of the legislation, the retailers submit what we call dealer registers into the SABC on a monthly basis. In the dealer registers, it tells us who the TV set was sold to. It gives us the full details of the person. So what we have a compliance section that checks those dealer registers. When they pick up an ID number that appears more often, maybe 5 times, 15 times or whatever, that is when we identify that the retailer was actually using somebody else's paid-up license to purchase for all other households. And a lot of the times people do that because they run away from paying either their arrears or paying the 265 that they need to pay. Once the dealer registers have been analyzed, what we do is that in terms of the legislation, we penalize the retailer a minimum of 3,000 rands per television set, up to a maximum of 10,000 rands. The disadvantage, however, is that it is not the particular individual that bought the TV set that suffers the consequences. It's, however, the retailer that has to pay the penalty for each and every TV set that they sold. And in a number of occasions, we've also had some of the retailers actually dismissing their staff members who sell TV sets in that manner. There was a question about debt collection. We submit accounts to our debt collectors as a last resort after all the internal processes have been carried out within TV licenses. What the process that we have with the debt collectors is that they are given revenue budgets. We are specific about the amount that we need for them to collect on an annual basis, and they are performance managed on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. We meet with them quarterly. Every quarter we have a discussion about their performance and so forth. Now, the payment structure that is currently in place for the debt collectors is on a contingency fee basis, meaning that we do not have a fixed amount to say that we are going to pay a debt collector so much. Depending on how successful they are in collecting, that is what drives us to paid the debt collectors. And what we have seen as well is that obviously the more the debt collectors are able to collect, particularly when they exceed their budgets, that's when their commission will go higher. On average, we pay the debt collectors about 7 million. We are currently using 3 debt collectors to collect on our behalf. There was a question also about legislation regarding the penalties. We have in the submission that Mr. Markowitz spoke about earlier on, we have also made a submission for penalties to be increased so that we are able to enforce compliance at the point of sale, which will also address some of the issues that we are having with non-compliance, because currently the penalties that are there in the legislation have never been reviewed. So we have asked for them to be reviewed. The creation of an innovation hub, we want to be able to utilize what this cloud solution, which will come with additional platforms for us to communicate or to assist our license holders. At present, we have a small team that focuses only on assisting our license holders by responding to their emails. So we are contemplating on utilizing this very team in order for them to also assist license holders on these other platforms, on social media, like I mentioned during the presentation, to be able to assist people if they have inquiries, they want to ask questions about TV license, either on Facebook, on Twitter, or on WhatsApp, which is far quicker, and sometimes there are license holders or customers who don't want to speak to a call center agent. They would rather write to somebody and therein they get a response instead of waiting for somebody to answer their call. So we will be utilizing the existing staff. There is already a team. We do not need to hire a supervisor or a manager or any additional staff members in that regard. The last question on GIS. The geographical information system that we're looking at is really a system that will be driven internally within TV licenses by our systems department. We have a technical team that looks after all our systems that we use to be able to collect. It is not an invasive process. What we aim at doing is identifying the number of households that do not have TV licenses. Now, how we envisage implementing this is that instead of like what we used to have in the past of having people physically go to your house and check whether you have a TV license or not, this will just be system driven. There will not be any inspectors going into people's houses. So the plan is we will send SMSs or emails or letters if we do not have cell numbers or email addresses, and request the owner of the property, of the house or whatever, to take out a license with us. At the same time, we're also looking at promoting our website for people to be encouraged to go and take out a license on the website without having to go to the post office or to the retail shop and all of that. So what I mentioned earlier on was to say that this process of identifying unlicensed holders, license holders, is far cheaper than when you have to employ people who must go physically around the country checking for licenses.
I just want to respond to the two outstanding questions. First of all, Honorable Nkwankwa, just to clarify the statement that was made by the chairperson of the board with regards to National Treasury saying that SABC must retrench, he was basically articulating the government guarantee conditions of 2009, that at that time there was more than one condition. One of them was to reduce the staff count. So at this stage, in this round, they have not been engaged at all. we have not spoken to them about that. And then the second question was from Honorable Club about the partnerships. Yes, indeed, the partnerships are, some of them are at an advanced stage, particularly there's one with a financial institution talking about the SABC Education Channel. But there's also other initiatives that we are having with IDC, where we are looking at them investing more into the television production space, because previously they were more into film, but they are now keen to get into the television space. And we're working in tandem with also the producers to make sure that it's a tripartite relationship so that the IP can be shared, as I was referring to. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let's hand over back to you. But we've addressed all the questions that we asked. Thank you.
The last one will be the Deputy Minister, and then I will close the meeting. Deputy Minister. I'll come to you after that.
Thank you, Honourable Honourable Chair. I nearly said Deputy Chair. And this is now the second person who is Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee. I think, Chair, we really appreciate the inputs that and the observations that Honourable Members have made, but also broadly the guidance you have also given to us as the shareholder, as well as the board and the executives of the SABC. And from the engagement you have made, Chair, one of the things that you have also emphasized is the independence of our public broadcaster. And all of us says that remains paramount. But also the fact that you have also picked up the issue and the challenge that the public broadcaster is faced with, especially around public mandate vis-a-vis the issue of funding. And I think it's one of the things that we were also grappling with as the department or the shareholder. And even when we tabled the communications policy, which was adopted by Cabinet, one of the things was to say, let's see how various spheres of government use communication effectively, but also look at the SABC as a platform that can be used to reach out South Africans using indigenous language. So we think through that, departments, without us channeling them not only to use the SABC, but we think it's another platform that can be used effectively if we want really our constituencies and citizens to get government communication, because billboards and other means, especially in the rural, in the far-flung rural areas, may not be feasible. So we think the policy will assist us in dealing with some of those things. Chair, the other issue that you have also picked up as a committee is that there's also a need to engage committees of parliament that have issues of mutual interest with yourselves, especially the Appropriation Committee, the Standing Committee on Finance, the Committee of Sports, as well as the Committee of Arts and Culture, because these are committees that if amongst yourselves you can sit and look at how best can we maximize and assist each other in ensuring that we bring the SABC back to its glory. We can be able to find each other, especially on issues of funding through Treasury, but also the issues of sports rights. Arts and Culture comes in because from time to time they run events, and they can be able to use the SABC as a platform. So it's part of enhancing revenue in that way and assisting the SABC to be self-sustainable. Of course, as a committee, you're also saying, give us feedback from time to time as you will be implementing this blueprint. So we have to come back to you to say, of course, we have a framework that we are operating with. We have our strategic turnaround strategy, but this is how we think we'll be able to implement it. So the executive on HR must be able to say, with issues of personnel and all other things, this is how we are going to run with it, and so on and so on. So there must be various implementation plans that come through various executives to say to the committee, this is how we see ourselves implementing the bigger strategy. You are saying to us, Chair, that the onus is with you as government, and in particular the SABC, to bring back confidence to our people. And I think we are humbled by that. And I think ours as a shareholder is to go and support the board and the executive on what they have presented to you. Of course, you have picked up some teething problems during the process of putting together this turnaround strategy, something that we think will improve on. But we're saying, as we go back, even before the committee comes to Johannesburg to meet with the board and to meet with the executive, from our side as the shareholder, we'll meet with the board and make sure that we find each other in ensuring that we have a comprehensive implementation plan that does not put our people in limbo, that our people will remain informed, especially the employees of the SABC, to understand where we want to go as the SABC. And I think this is one of the things that we think we look at. Of course, there are opportunities as you look at the broader framework of the strategy. So we'll use the Shareholders Compact. I know they are busy with the MOI, which will also outline how the shareholder and the board relate, and we'll be able to deal with some of those things accordingly. So, Chair, we really are grateful on how far we have gone with the board and the executives, and we'll make sure that we bring back that confidence and put the SABC where it belongs. Thanks very much.
I will use this time. You are not going to respond to any question. Board members will take whatever these members are going to say as a part course when you deal with all these issues. And I will I'll start with Van Dam, then Kwankwa, then Madisha, and Kalako will be the last. You can understand why I'm doing this, because you must speak on these matters, all of you.
Okay, yeah. Here's your scuffed in. To build on what Mr. Tekiso was saying, June Claudia's era, top management salaries increased exponentially. I mean, I think he increased his four times to the point where he earned more than the state president. So I want to know if those salaries that were set during that era still exist. Is that what top management still earns? I don't see any nodding or shaking of heads. I was hoping you'd... If you're still earning those...
Problems yourselves. just listen.
Okay. So I would advise that a salary review happens throughout the SABC and see whether people are earning what they should be earning. I really hope that you, as the top management, are not earning, the COO is not earning what Saudi was earning, and the CEO, okay, you shook your head, cool. Okay, and then I'm really excited about the SABC parliamentary channel. I've always thought it should be available to the public. I'm excited about all the new channels that you're coming up with, but I'm hoping that you also keep in mind that for those channels, you'll need people, so you won't just retrench and then have to hire people back again for your new channels. And then the landmarks system, okay, actually I'll put my questions written because I need answers. I'll write mine, but those are just comments I could make.
Chair, thank you very much. Let me go back to the issue that the chairperson, the CEO, doesn't have to respond to it now. Is that when Mr. Kalako was making his presentation, he said the people who fall under scale code 300, the 564, are junior managers. Didn't you say that? So I added those junior managers, including the senior managers, the 478, to get to that total. Because they too, like yourselves, occupy the ambivalent position of being of representing the employer to the employees, right? While they themselves are employers. I think that's where part of the problem is. So you do get almost to that 1,000 rand. I was not 1,000 rand, 1,000 people. I was not being hyperbolic when I was saying that earlier, nor was I in an election mode. We'll wait until the end of November before we start doing that. I think the other issue that is important here, Chairperson, is that we must be careful of double speak. What are we doing? Are we embarking on a retrenchment process, which is Section 89, or are we busy with the consultation process, which is Section 84? I don't need an answer to that now, but I'm just trying to say if we're consulting, then that's 84. If we're retrenching, that's 189, slightly different process. But I'm not a labor lawyer, so I don't understand these things as much as some people do. I think, you see, I'm always troubled by this thing, Chairperson, this sports rights, which are overpriced. I mean, it's amazing. It's really amazing that even SAFA sells SABC sports rights, or whatever you call them, for a Bafana that never wins a single match, and they charge them a lot of money to show that to us. I want Chairperson to say that this issue of indeed top manager salaries needs serious consideration, because I think that's where part of the problem would be if it's not attended to particularly and with particular focus. The business model, I think, in my view, that while I'm excited about the proposal around 8 channels or so, or whatever channels that are going to be introduced in addition to the 3 that currently exist, is that maybe there needs to be a proper business model. In line with that, I think it was Honorable Kalako said earlier, you are embarking on a process where you need to restructure the institution, but you're also adding a few channels. How are you going to fund that? How are they going to sustain themselves? Maybe more details, not today, but in future, would need to be provided. Thank you very much. La Parliamentary Channel, Ingabi ANC.
Thank you.
Honorable
Matisha.
No, thanks. Permit me to agree with you, the Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee, that we later shall meet with the board and look into what they will have done between now and when we meet. We have raised a number of points, and we have agreed that, yes, indeed, there is improvement, Chairperson. I say this compared to that which we know happened during the past, you know, Saudi's whatever, okay? And the issue of the payments and so on, as long as they're kept within the realms, I mean, we are dealing here, and you are representing, of course, led by yourself, Chair, the working class and the poor of our country. Unemployment rate is too high, and we shan't agree with the situation where you get 2 million rand and bonuses of 1.59, etc., etc. So that will be out of order, really. So, like the chairperson is saying, we'll come, we'll sit, and this issue, for example, that I raised and was not responded to properly, I think it will be dealt with there when we meet, of the cuts, I think that was raised, and in my own opinion, was not responded to properly. And therefore, as I am chairperson, respecting your time, you can't have others eating twice whilst others are not eating at all. Others work properly and freelance and eat more. Others don't get anything altogether, CEO, through you, my chairperson. When we meet, we'll look into this, and I hope they shall have done their best. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Kalako.
No, Chair, mine is just, I'm sure when, as you are saying, I'm sure we'll have to, during this period, to actually very soon visit you and meet with you and monitor what you are, how far you have moved. And Chair, I support you, we must meet them in Johannesburg so that we try to assist the board and the SABC of flying down here and moving hotels. But I think what Chris you said, we'll monitor it properly, because during elections everything which is reflected is in metro areas, big cities. Even small towns are not covered that much. I'm happy now that you say you have a plan to cover rural areas, because that is where most of the people are, and they are not exposed to this. So if SAPC, you have that program for elections to meet, I think that will be a very good, it's a good program. Instead of things happen around, even these debates during elections you sometimes host, they happen in Cape Town, PE, Johannesburg, you know, in rural towns and rural areas, you don't really get them. So, Chair, to me, I think this is a progress, what you have been presented with by the board and the executive and SABC. So we will engage on that when we meet with them.
Yeah, so it's very clear that we all agree that we'll meet again with the board, just to get an update on how far we've gone, but also dealing with this. I think the main thing, among others, is this Section 189 thing. We'll have to be very clear on what we do on that one. Don't waste time. We finalize matters with the unions and implement. And I think what I hear and what I know is that the word retrenchment is a last resort in the whole process. And that is agreed. Agreed or not agreed with the unions, because that must be discussed with the union, negotiated with the unions, and is taken as a last resort. Good progress on many other things that we have presented here. I think the license fees issue must really find its way to the new legislation, because we can't continue with the 265 for years and years. And the study is that many countries get a lot of money from license fees, apart from advertising and all of that. So that needs to be dealt with. Things that are not necessarily in the turnaround strategy, a task of the committee is that of just putting, shall I say, pressure, but just engage with the
PCC just engage with the Treasury as well as the Minister in terms of, well, of course, this office here, the budget office, so that we look at the issue of raising the 3% that we give the national broadcaster. It's just nothing. So we just have to engage on that one. I think we've done well in terms of time. We initially said we'll finish at 4, and now it's 15:48. And this item, at least we're done with it. We'll go to another item, which is the shortlisting. An SABC board, if you are rushing for flights, please do so. But we want to minimize your costs by coming closer to you next time around, so that we can have our meeting in Gauteng. Deputy Minister has done her closing remarks, comments and all of that. Those were related to what we're dealing with as the turnaround studies. The issue of shortlisting, we're going to deal with it now. Travel safe, Chair, and your team. Till we meet next time. If you want to go, Deputy Minister, but it would be nice if you're sitting. But you can go. Thank you very much, Team SABC. It will be just a 5-minute stretch for members. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much, SABC. Thank you very much. Okay, we can now close the door. That parties must talk so that we don't spend time in this meeting. By the way, we'll deal with this matter in terms of interviews and finalizing everything. I mean,
recommending to Parliament, we'll have to do it just before we close, when Parliament sits properly, and then we submit, but we must interview first. So I'll hear from you, members, that we go to that exercise now, or we look at another time to do it, because it will be nice if you have consulted, so that you just come with one single list of people to be interviewed. Thanks, Kalago.
No, Chair, I was going to propose, because I was just, we didn't have that time, the schedules, and even speaking on the phone, we were proposing, Chair, that we postpone it now. We'll see if what sometime next week, if we cannot do it. I don't know when I will coming back.
We're coming the week before, after next.
Or the week
on
after.
The
So that, if, in fact, when we do it, we shortlist an interview.
If you have, yeah, so you have done that consultation,
yes,
it can be a one-hour meeting, even if it's over lunch.
Yes.
I'm happy with that, because it doesn't make any difference, because we still need to give the names to the House. So I think Tuesday we shortlist, the following Tuesday we interview, we give it to the House, and it's finished. I don't think it makes any difference if we do it today or next Tuesday, because we have to wait for the process in the House. I just wanted to ask about the security and qualification checks, whether that's finished.
It will be done once we shortlist, because we can't do the whole list. Coming back on the 9th, and then we can only do everything those weeks, and then towards the end we recommend in Parliament. Unfortunately, we're done with this one. Unfortunately, the issue of study tour, because of the BRRR and everything else, it will be towards the end of November.